Hello everyone, just a wee update from me. I'm waiting now for an appointment. Should be around about the 20th of November for a CT scan, just to see how the healing's going, and how effective prayers have been. So that'd be quite a challenging day for me, but yeah, somewhere around about 20th of November. So, today I wanted just to chat about a bit about my experience in Edinburgh Hospital, but what I come away with is quite something's quite interesting. So this is a wee title, if you want a title, My God is Too Small. So I'm going to read from Romans 8, verse 28, in the NIV version, and it's a very familiar verse, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And from my experience in Edinburgh Royal, it was clear to me I was really missing out on something. I was recently reading a book by Rob Parsons. It's called What They Didn't Teach Me in Sunday School. Rob Parsons, if you know, he's the Care for the Family man, and he's author of The 60 Minute Father. So he describes it like this: I have discovered in my life there have been times when I could not go on as I had been. There have been occasions when I have heard Jesus say to me, "Come apart and rest a while." My protests have sometimes been strong, but the crowds are still wanting us, and the gospel is still to be preached, and there are so many needs. At such times, I have sometimes felt his smile, not of reproof, but rather of amusement, that I should have believed the responsibility for the whole kingdom sat squarely on my shoulders, and that the God of whom it is written, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light," would find it hard to manage without me for a while. So that's how Rob sees it, Rob Parsons sees it. And he was saying there, let there be light. And I was thinking about this, and it's a thing I've thought about on and off over the years. Is about, that you've probably heard this. There's more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. Just say that again. There's more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. I wondered if this was actually correct. So a bit of Googling, and actually, incredibly, there's 10 times more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on the Earth. Isn't that amazing? Grains of sand, not areas of sand, not square cubic meters, but grains of sand. And they work this out by looking at the light. They kind of estimate how much light comes from a single star. And then they look how much light they've got. And then they work out how many stars there'd be. And it's quite a lot. And then if you think about how close the nearest star to us, apart from the sun, that is, how close it is. Well, it's Proxima Centauri, which is 4.25 million light years away. So if you travel at 186,000 miles a second, a bit faster than the average family saloon, so you're traveling at 186,000 miles a second, which is a bit faster than an aircraft, 600 miles an hour. Or Concorde, I think, was Mach 1 or thereabouts, was through the sound barrier, of course. So it is it's pretty quick traveling for a year at that speed, and then it takes you 4.25 million years at that speed to get to the nearest star. 4.25 million years, travelling at 186,000 miles a second. Pretty quick. Not far at all, really, in the big scale of things. Well, it is the big scale of things, isn't it? 4.25 million light years away. And when we have a god who's put the stars in the sky and said, as Rob was saying, let there be light, it's not surprising on planet Earth, when we're caught up in all the busyness of what we do, you know, just getting on with life and going to work and all the rest of it, we become a bit detached from how big, how massively big the God who created the universe is. Huge, massive, enormous. And the stars that I've just talked about are the ones that we can potentially see with a telescope. It's not actually talking about the other parts of the universe that we can't see with the naked eye, that would be observable from radio telescope or the Hubble telescope or from the space station that whizzes around our planet. It's not talking about those. It's talking about the ones we can see. So we have an amazing, huge, massive God. And as Rob was saying there, he said God was smiling in amusement. And I felt that a little bit. And I didn't know quite what to do or make of it. I was lying in a hospital bed in Edinburgh, fairly relaxed. I wasn't upset or anything. I was on my own in a single room. There was light, very dimly, dim light from the nurse's station, which was just outside my room. It was a large room. I wasn't able to sit up. I was lying, not completely flat, but fairly flat. Couldn't lift my head up to have a look around. And when I woke up, or when I was there, I just had this awareness in the room. There's somebody else being there. And this awareness was just incredible. And this, my first thought was, it's crazy really, my first thought was, I should be quiet because I'm waking up. So you can hear that rattling. That's the the loft ladder. There's so much activity going on around here just now, as you can imagine with Leah's wedding. So yeah, and so my first reaction was, I need to be quiet because I don't want to wake him up. And I just love that bit in Matthew 26, verse 20. Where it talks about Jesus reclining with the disciples, just relaxing with them, not talking to them, not teaching them, it's just reclining with the disciples and chilling out and having some food. Just amazing. So there I was in this room with an awareness that there was somebody else in the room. And it was just then that the penny dropped and I thought, this is amazing. This is wonderful. I'm chilling out with God here. The Holy Spirit has turned up and chilling out with me. And then the next thought I had, the very next thought was, I wonder what he's going to say or what should I do. Or, and it's that, as Rob Parsons said, that just that God smiling. You know what? He didn't want me to do anything. Didn't want me to say anything. He just wanted to chill out with me. Rob Parsons puts it this way later on in the book. At such times, I have sat down with a cup of coffee and considered whether there are demands from which I could be released for a time. Sometimes this has involved going to colleagues and telling them openly how I am feeling and asking for their help. To do so, I have had to battle with inner voices that whisper me, but they are under pressure too, and most of all, with my pride. Such times have meant that I have had to say no to things in which I would love to have been involved. I have sometimes cancelled things to create some space where I can breathe a little. On one occasion, I was able to take a short break from the church leadership team that I was a part of. It was such a time that a friend, observing a life of frenzied activity, said to me, "You seem to have lost the ability to spend time with yourself." He suggested that once a week I go for a walk to a nearby park and just kick the leaves. Just kick the leaves. He counselled me not to take a pen with which to jot down seminar ideas that might come to me, or even to feel the pressure to pray, but just to practice spending time with me. It seemed at first indulgent, and I would sometimes look around furtively to check whether the approaching jogger was somebody from the church who might be surprised that I had so much time on my hands. It didn't occur to me that I might ask how he had so much time on his hands. But it wasn't just the guilt, but rather that at first I found I just couldn't do it. Oh, when I retired, it's tough, tough, tough relaxing. I find it hard to relax. Sitting on the beach with a book in the sun, not for me, but. And he goes on to say, I had spent so much time of my life doing that just being was proving harder than I thought. But we can learn. And kicking the leaves became for me a phrase that summed up the art of creating space for ourselves, not just for our sakes, but so that we may be effective in the task to which God has called us. I believe the reason so many of us find it hard to spend time with God in silence or in prayer is that we have lost the ability to spend time with ourselves. We are busy people. We love activity. We cannot be still. That resonates so much with me. And when in that hospital bed in Edinburgh, it was just incredible that God didn't want anything from me. He just wanted me to be me. So I just want to read some verses from the Bible that I think reinforce what I've just been saying. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 4. Praise be to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And I'll just finish off with this one. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And at the end of God there, there is a full stop. Be still. And know that I am God. Full stop. He then goes on to say, I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So we have a God who's really big, who puts stars in the space, and he's quite happy for us to take a break sometimes and just chill out with him, just relax with him, with no pressure to do anything, to say anything, just enjoy the moment. So I hope you, as I say, are all well, and see some of you on the 15th. God bless. Bye.